to Acts chapter 2. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Okay, Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, we read, first read verse 37, yeah, before we come to the formula proper, so to speak, okay? Now, let's look at verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, we understand that, yeah, judging from the passage, chapter 2, we find that on the day of Pentecost, yeah, the coming of the Spirit, you know, is like drew a group of people, yeah, to the site or to the place where the 120 assembled, okay, because they were drawn to the place by what? By the sound, yeah, of their prayer, or by the sound of the coming of the Spirit, and so, and Peter seized hold of the opportunity, and he preached a very powerful sermon, which touched the hearts of the listeners, right? And in the sermon, actually, Peter pointed out to them that they were present in the crucifixion of Christ, and in a way, they consented to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and it's like they share in the killing of Christ. Right? That is a very serious, sin. So, I think the listeners, you know, having been touched by the message of Peter, you know, and obviously, you know, needed to find a way out or a way of escape. You know, you cannot remain in that position for so long if you are so pricked in your conscience, right? You need to find a way out. So, that's why they came to Peter and the rest of the apostles and began to question them, yeah, and said to them, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, you'll find that here, there was a specific reason for them to question Peter and the rest of the apostles. Yeah, because, you know, they have been told that they have sinned against Christ, yeah, by crucifying him. Now, obviously, when you look at verse 38, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Where am I now? I'm gone. Maybe I need to have a break. Okay, never mind. Where am I? Okay, verse 38, yeah? Now, so Peter always obviously said to them that they need to repent. That's the way of coming out from that situation. That is to have their sin purged or forgiven, right? Now, if you look at it very carefully, now all the onlookers, they were adult, they were listening to the to the message of Peter. Yeah? So they were well aware of the fact that they have committed a very serious crimes against God. Okay? Now, so Peter introduced, you know, the way to have their sin forgiven. That is, they must repent and be baptized for the remission of sin. Now, whether you like it or not, you find that an infant is not capable of confessing. Yeah? Now, more importantly, you find that when an infant was born, like what I said before, he was born into sin. And he had not committed any sin of his own or her own. So, what is required of this person, this young child, is to have the sin that, you know, like, unfortunately, you know, like, attached to him when he or she was born into this world, purged. That's it. Okay? That's why no repentance is needed. Okay? And I don't think there is a need for him to confess the sin that he has not committed. There's no need for that. Right? That's why you find that, yeah, when we, you know, in the true Jesus Church, yeah, we do baptize infants on account of this. One of the reasons why we baptize infants from believing family, or right, believing adults of the church. Okay, that's the reason. Two types of sin, right? And the we baptize infant because infant, yeah, is born into sin. We know that the what? The wages of sin is what? What's the wages of sin? Death. Not just physical death, but it's also spiritual death. Right? Now, let's look at the needs of being in in the community of God. Yeah, I want to first turn to Genesis chapter 17. Okay, now Genesis chapter 17. Now we look at verse 7. Yeah. We first look at verse 7. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Now, I want to read also verse 10. This is my covenant with which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised. Now, I want to ask you a question. You know, how old must the child be when he is circumcised? Where is it? Verse 12? Yes, 8 days old, yeah? Now, meaning, if this child is not circumcised, then he is like, you know, he is not part of the family of Abraham. Am I right? Now, that's why in chapter 12, yeah? Now, I want you to understand this idea, how the Old Testament covenant that God had with Abraham is being introduced in the New Testament as well. Okay? Now, the covenant between God and Abraham had not been changed, or had never been, you know, done away with. Okay, now we turn to Genesis chapter 12. We read verse 3. Genesis chapter 12 verse 3. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you, in Abraham, yeah, all the family of the earth shall be blessed. Okay? Now, so this is the condition laid down, yeah, for anyone to be blessed, he must become part of the family of Abraham. Okay? Now, so when you come to chapter 17, if you are not from the line of Abraham, only a slave in those days, then how can you be part of this family? You must be circumcised. Right? Now, so to be what? In the family of Abraham. Now, when you come to the New Testament scriptures, we know that none of us are Jewish. So how can we be part of the family of Abraham? What is the way by which we can become part of the family of Abraham? Anyone? Hey? Yes. Can you back it up? Nicholas? No, I'm asking him. Thank you very much. Galatians chapter 3. I'll ask you later, Matthew. I will direct all my questions to you. Okay. Here is our historian. I may need you to help me draw a chart or whatever. He's very good at drawing maps and graph. Wonderful, this guy. Okay, chapter 3, yeah? Galatians chapter 3. We look at Actually, we can read from verse 27 onwards. Yeah. Now, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Right, so that is baptism, that you become part of the family of Abraham. Now, think about this. In the Old Testament scriptures, yeah, if you happen to leave a child, yeah, uncircumcised after 8 days, what will happen to you? You'll be cut off. Thrown away. So is that also, yeah? Now, what make you think that in the New Testament time, the coming of Jesus Christ is like His grace is only given to the believing adult to the exclusion of all the other children? Is that possible? Not possible. You get what I'm saying? So, just by looking at the covenant itself, you know that this is not possible. Because this is not like two different covenants, right? The New Testament, when you look at the New Testament, being in Christ actually is the way in which we can become what? The descendants of Abraham. Right? So you find that the covenant that God had with Abraham is pre-Mosaic, even before Moses was born. Okay? And that continue on and on and on until today. So if a child is not baptized, so do you think he is okay if he dies? Do you think he is blessed if he dies? No. The child cannot receive the blessing that God has promised to be given to Abraham. No way. Nowhere near that. Okay? So just by looking at this covenant, it's very clear. You get the idea? Right? Now, the next thing I want to talk about is, yeah? Now, if you look at the we always talk about this, yeah. Now, I want you to read Exodus, yeah. Look at Exodus first. I want you to read, I think this is something that repeat all the time. Now, I want you to read from chapter 7, yeah? Let's look at chapter 7 first. Verse 16, okay? Verse 16. Now, the middle part is saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. Let my people go. Okay. Do God's people include the infants? Those who were born young, I mean, they were still young. People, God's people. God's people includes only the adults? Are the infants included? That's my question. Yes, okay. If you look at chapter 8 again, yeah? Alright, verse 1. Let my people go. Right? You find that this is repeated throughout, you know, this part of the scriptures, yeah? Okay. Now, I want you to read also chapter 10, yeah? Look at chapter 10. Now, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son and your son's son the mighty things that I have done in Egypt and my sign which I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. Okay? Now, here, you know, it's like God is saying about the future generation, even though they were not in existence then. This mighty deed must be reminded. Now, think about this. The reason for me to mention this is that if they were not out of Egypt, yeah, if they remain, if the infants, the young children remain in Egypt, right, then you find that their fathers would not be able to tell them about what? about the mighty deeds of God. Yeah, God, you know, power which he showed against the Egyptians. Now, you know, during the Exodus time, many of them were very young. You know, they were not able to comprehend what actually had happened. Right? Now, so the duty of the parent is to tell them. Now, you can imagine, if they remain in Egypt, then what happened? They would be, deprived of the opportunity to be told about what? God's mighty deeds. Yeah? Now, that's why you find that when they went out of Egypt, did they leave their children behind? Did they leave their children behind? No. Everyone went out with them. So, now, according to Paul, Paul says this is a baptismal experience. Where is it recorded? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Okay, we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, yeah? We read verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the clouds, all passed through the sea. Okay? Here is talking about the Exodus experience. Verse 2. All were baptized into Moses in the clouds and in the sea. Now, so this is in the mind of Paul, yeah, like a baptism. Okay, it's a baptism. Right? Now, so you see that all of them went out, so children included. Yeah, that's why today we baptize infants. We said that earlier on, we only baptize infants of believing family. We do not just go to the street and, you know, just, you know, seize any children and baptize them. No. We baptize like if a family here, right, the parents come to observe the truth and they are touched by the truth, or they're moved by the Spirit and you know, they make up their mind and want to get baptized, and in this family they are children, then we baptize not only the parents but also the children together. Okay? Alright, now the next things that I want to talk about is, yeah, you know, how are we going to explain the elements of faith? Because without faith, without belief, it is impossible, you know, for a person, yeah, to get baptized. Now, have you heard about this this term? What do you call this? Yes. Yeah. Families, yes. I think cases like this, yeah, cases like this, then I think we need to discuss with the family concerned. You know, sometimes if the father is a non-believer, you know, if he is the, you know, dominant figure in the family, then it becomes very difficult. Right? If he said no, then the church will not baptize the infant. Otherwise, end up fighting. No, it's not very pleasant. It depends, okay? It depends on the situation. Right. Okay, I'm not sure whether you have heard about this, what do you call it? Vicarious faith? Yes, meaning, yes. Yeah? Vicarious. Right? Now, there are examples of this nature in the Bible. You know, like, can you give me an example in the gospel? You know, some sick people, yeah, and on accounts of the faith of others, what, their illnesses, their sicknesses were healed. Centurion, where is it? Eh? Yes, Matthew chapter 8. Yeah? We turn to Matthew chapter 8. I think this is a very good example. You know why? Because it's like here, you know, the relationship is between a master and a servant. You know, it seems to me that the Bible here does not talk about their actual relationship. They are not related in any sense apart from being a master and a servant. Alright? Now, I want to look at chapter 8, yeah? And see what Jesus said. Now, verse 13, yeah? Now, I think you all know the story, because here, I mean, the story here is about a centurion who came to Jesus, yeah, because one of his servants, yeah, was dreadfully ill, right? And so he came to Jesus to beg Jesus to heal the servant. Okay? Now, so, having spoken to Jesus, yeah, and this is what Jesus said to him. Now, look at verse 13, right? Verse 13. Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you." And his servant was healed the same hour. Okay? So, the faith of the centurion has a direct impact on the well-being of his servant. Meaning, in this case, the servant was healed on account of the faith of the centurion. Yeah, I think there are quite a few examples. In fact, there are numerous examples in the New Testament scriptures. Now, with the same principle, I believe the same principle holds, yeah, in the case of an infant, yeah, who is to be baptized. Yeah, obviously, you know, on account of the request made by the believing family. Yeah, and you can obviously baptize an infant. Is that okay? Right? Now you find that children who were born into the church or who were baptized since young, then obviously the church and the parents concerned have the duty to bring them up in the ways of the Lord. Meaning, you have to teach them, to fear God, you know, like the Jewish people, you know, do all the time. Yeah, in the Old Testament scriptures, you can see how the young children were trained up, right? And to know the law of Moses very well. Right? So the duty of the church and the parents concerned, yeah, is to teach what? The young, those young children who have been baptized in the church. Yeah? Okay? So, this idea, vicarious faith. So, on account of my faith, my children can be baptized. That kind of thing. Alright? Alright, now we move on. The other idea is, yeah, you know that in the New Testament scriptures, I guess you have done you have done the exercise already. Yeah? So in, you know, the whole household, yeah, household, the whole household, you know, was baptized. Okay. Okay, I want you to read the. Okay, now give me an example. Household. Chapter 10. Any proof? Relative? Does the Bible talk about the household? I think it does. Does it not talk about household? When he went back to Jerusalem, when he talked about the account, right? We turn to chapter 11, yeah? Okay, now I want you to read from verse 12 for you to understand the whole things better. The household actually is mentioned in verse 14. Okay, verse 14, but I want you to read from verse 12. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, this six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. Now verse 13, and he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house, who said to him, "Send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter." Now verse 14, "who will tell you words by which you and your household will be saved." you and your household. Now, how were they saved? They were baptized, am I right? So according to chapter 10, they were baptized. So when you look at the accounts given by Peter, actually, you know, the salvation was extended not only to Cornelius, not only to his relative, the whole household. Now, you know, in those days, for him to be such a prominent figure in the society then, obviously I believe he had many slaves and servants as well. You know, in those days, the servant must listen to the master. So the whole household, I believe not only children included, yeah, but also what? All those who are in the household. Just like in the case of Abraham, all the servants what? Must be circumcised as well. Okay, the one we read in Genesis chapter 17. Right? So it's like he is the house of the master of the house, so he had the final say in everything. Yeah? Now obviously we believe, yeah, for a person to be saved, to accept baptism, he must be able to express faith. Right? Otherwise it's difficult. But here if we are talking about children, so these things comes into play. Right? So on account of the faith of Cornelius, his household was baptized together with him. Right? Whole household. Right? Okay, this is the first one. Now, where's the other one? We look at chapter 16, right? Okay, we turn to chapter 16. We look at verse. You know, some people said, yeah, maybe in the household of Cornelius, yeah, there wasn't any infant. So, okay. Okay, let's assume that there isn't any, okay? Now, chapter 16, we look at verse 14 and verse 15, yeah? Verse 14 and verse 15. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. Now, 15, yeah? And when she and her household were baptized. It's like, it seems that this lady had a kind of influence over the household, her household. Right? That's why, you know, the message was first preached to her, and for some reason, the Bible does not mention much about, you know, what has happened later on. But what is appear here is that she and her household, yeah, were baptized. So household again. Right. Now, if you say, oh, maybe there's no kid in there. Okay, fine. We move on. Right. Let's look at another one, chapter 16. The jailer, right? Jailer. Now, look at the conversation between this jailer and Paul and Silas. Yeah? Now, you know, at that time, yeah, where were Paul and Silas and the rest? They were in prison, is it? Were they in prison? Okay. Now, what happened? The prison door, yeah, sprang open. Is that so? And so the jailer, assuming that all the prisoners have gone, yeah, decided to commit suicide, to take his own life. And what? Who is this? Paul, isn't it? Shouted out. If you read verse 28, but Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Meaning, they have not left the prison. Now, look at the question asked by the jailer. I want you to read verse 30, yeah? Chapter 16, verse 30. And he brought them out and said, sir, what must I do to be saved? Okay? He was asking a very personal question. He was talking about himself. Is it not so? What must I do? What must I do? Now, look at the reply from Paul and the rest, yeah? And Silas, verse 31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Okay, so you find that, you know, in the mind of the apostle, you know, not only this person must be saved, in fact, the family of this person must likewise to be saved. Okay, that's why even though this is a very personal question, but the reply is that not only you, the entire family must be saved as well. Okay, now I want you to look at verse 33. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. He and all his family were baptized. Now, quite clearly, you know, because this jailer was the head of his family, so he decided what the family should do. Right? In this case, it's like he had given the best to the family. That is by believing in Jesus Christ. Yeah? By getting baptized. Now, how many accounts already? Just now we read chapter 11, chapter 16 is the Lydia's case, and then here is the jailer case. Can we still say that maybe in this household there isn't any young kid? you can't assume like this. Yeah? Okay, now we move on. Chapter 18, yeah? Chapter 18. Acts of the Apostle, chapter 18. Verse 8, yes. Alright, now here it talks about Paul was ministering at Corinth. Alright? Now, so I want you to read verse 8. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Okay? Now, four cases already that mention about what? Household. Okay? Now, so, we again cannot assume that, you know, all this household have no children. You can't say that. You can't say that. Maybe if you say one household and all the household, you know, they don't have children, or the children have gone away, you know, they live, you know, away from their parents, you know. Okay, fine, but four cases. All right, now let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Yeah, 16, yeah. Verse 16, here Paul talks about the household of Stephanas was also baptized by him, yeah. Now, yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other. Okay, now five cases on household, right? How the apostle baptized the believing adults together with their household. Right? So quite clearly, the children included. We cannot deny that. Yeah, we cannot deny that. Okay, now I think one more account. Yeah? I want you to look at this. Yeah, I will get someone to explain this also. Okay, we turn back to Acts chapter 2. Please turn back to Acts chapter 2. Now, verse 38, apart from baptism, yeah? Now, I want you to read the last part. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 39, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all those who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Now, to your children. Now, the promise here, does it only refers to the receiving of the Spirit? Does it only refer to the receiving of the Spirit? No. How would you explain that actually this promise here, yeah, includes baptism, or we said baptism is part and parcel of this promise? Anyone? No, my question is, does the promise here includes baptism, receiving salvation?
Yes.
Yes. Any other verses to back it up? Okay. Baptism can forgive sin, yeah? Okay. What else? Alright, now I want you to read Galatians, yeah? Galatians, we look at verse 14, yeah? Verse 9 first, and then we read verse 14. You can see that these two things, baptism and the receiving of the Holy Spirit, are inseparable because we are Gentiles, yeah? Now, verse 9. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Okay? Blessed, okay? Now, you know, in the book of Galatians, there is a specific, yeah? How do I put it? A specific kind of blessing to be given to those who believe. Now, read verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. Eh? Now, this blessing is given to the Gentiles who are in Christ Jesus. Now, my question is, how can Gentiles be in Christ Jesus? Baptism. Is that also? Now, if you look on, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Can you see now? Just like in Acts chapter 2, yeah, it says, repent and get baptized for the remission of sin. Is it not so? And then it said, you and your children shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Can you see the sequence now? And same thing here, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. Meaning, this blessing is only receivable, yeah, in the normal circumstance, that if a person is in Christ. And obviously, there is an exception to the rules. Sometimes you find that Gentiles receive the Spirit prior to receiving baptism. But in the normal circumstance, you find that this blessing is only given to those who are in Christ Jesus. Right? Now, that's why when Peter said this, yeah, said, you and your children shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, he is basically saying that you need to be in Christ Jesus first, what? For this promise of the Spirit to be given to the children. Alright? That is the normal circumstance. Okay? Now, alright. Any questions on infant baptism? These are some of the points that you can use to back up why we need to baptize an infant, you know, the infants of our believing families. Yes? Oh, okay. You know the thing is this, yeah? This is how I look at it. A pregnant woman, if she gets baptized, okay, only her sin is forgiven. Now, you know that when the child, you know that the principle just now we mentioned, anyone who is born into the world, he is born into sin. You get what I'm saying? So, you know that baptism, yeah? That baptism is for the woman. Is for the woman, yeah. You get what I'm saying. Even though the child is in the womb, yeah? I don't think there is any effect on that child. Now, the main thing is after she has given birth, the child is born into sin. That's why the child needs to be baptized. Yes. We don't advise that actually.
Yeah, that is because we don't
IVF. conception, at the point of yes. You see, in the true Jesus Church, this is how we advise the couples who want to have children, through IVF or whatever. He said, you do it, but not at the expense of destroying any, fetus or whatever. What do you call that? Zygotes or whatever. Am I right? Zygote. You cannot destroy any of the zygotes. You cannot. Okay. Now, let's say if you want to go through this process, then you have to do it properly without destroying life. You know, I know that they will first make five or six, you know what I'm saying, and then they pick the strongest one, and the rest they throw away. No, it's not acceptable. It's the destruction of life. It's not acceptable. This is what we have been telling the youngsters in the church. Yes. I said, okay, fine, if you want to do that, okay, but make sure that you don't destroy life in the process.
Yeah.
But no, that's why, like what we said, yeah, there are two ways to look at it. First, because it's from the line of Adam, right? From the line of Adam, then sin is there already, okay? From the very beginning, according to Romans, yeah? And also, the verse we read early on in the book of Psalm 51, verse 5, right? Conceived in sin. Yes. I believe the conception itself is not a sin, okay? Conception, if that is a sin, then... Yes. According to Psalms, yes, it is. Because I'm in sin while I'm in my mother's womb, even though it's in a very plain language, but judging from Psalm, sin is already there. Because you're coming from that line. Isn't it? And because Adam, what we have read that, yeah, because of his sin, death reigns. So from that very moment, whoever comes from that line belongs to
okay,
to death.
So then the zygote also already has how is baptizing the pregnant woman has the by that time zygote
to me, I look at it in this way. I think there are two separate issues here, because the fetus or whatever is not in water. It's in the mother's womb. It's not in water, so it's not counted. Yes. Yes. Okay. Any more question on infant baptism? If you sometimes when you preach to others, yeah, you find that those who come to believe, some of the family may have children suffering from disabilities. You understand what I'm saying? Like some of them mentally retarded. No matter what you said, they will not be able to understand. They can be 20 or 30 years old already. So what are you going to do? You still baptize them on account of the faith of the parents. You have to. I think that's all this. Yes. Too strong of it. Mentally retarded children, there are many nowadays, right? So what if the parents come to believe? Do you want to baptize them? You know that they cannot be cured unless God perform miracles, right? In most cases, they cannot be cured because it's, their brain has gone wrong somewhere. So we baptize them as well. Because these people, they are not able to express faith. No way. Not at all. No, I said this kind of people we also baptize, the parents come to believe.
So, in this way, you don't call it. It's not that you have to be baptized.
Yes. But it's a term used, okay? That's why I'm using the term. I know nowadays we have to be very careful with, you know, even prostitute, you don't call them prostitute anymore. You understand what I'm saying? No. No. In the UK, you cannot simply say a person, you are a prostitute. You cannot. They said they're a sex worker. Yes. Right? That's why you find that this sin here, all this are being covered up. Right? They just want to beautify it. Oh, very good, no problem. That kind of thing. So we are so... Now, you find that you cannot even use... You don't use the word... What? Infidelity. You don't use the word adultery. Not very often anymore. Cover up. Okay. All right. Any more questions? You want me to stop now? Okay, no problem. We stop. We take a break first. All right. Let's pray in silence. Amen.